What's going on, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. How have your work experiences set the stage for the work you do? Today's guest on Getting Work to Work uses her positive work experiences to discover the good in people and connect to the core of who they are so she can set them up for success. Diana George is the founder and president of By George HR Solutions, an author and a speaker, and she brings her passion for people to this conversation. We talk about the importance of listening, the role of deep questions, building great company cultures, and the differences between a job and a career. She even shares a few thoughts about the future of human resources in an automated world. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/449. Diana, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's wonderful to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris, for having me on this show. I'm excited to be here today.
Absolutely. So what are you endlessly curious about?
That is a great question. And I have to tell you, I'm interested all the time and curious about discovering the good in people. Because I tell you, I don't think that we do that enough. You know, so often we look for the things that the person is not doing right, or, you know, we get upset by small things. But I think if nothing else, COVID and what we've experienced the last few months has taught us to be grateful for people and relationships. And so I look for the good in people.
When was there a moment where, you know, you switched your mindset to looking for the good in someone and it just totally changed, like, what was going on?
I'm in human resources, and I've been in human resources for a while now, and, you know, stumbled into it by mistake. And that's one of the things when you're in human resources, you are connected to people and you see people at their best. You see them at your worst. You know, if you're in an organization, you see them when they come in the organization, you see them when they retire. You really do get to see all of it. And, you know, when you take a look at that aspect, you realize that there's so much more good in people. So I think early in my career, when I started working, and this is when I was working with Bose Speakers, the speaker company, I was just so amazed at how wonderful our human resource department was at that time and how they prepared us for so much in every aspect of the job. And it really was about being people related. And I think at that time, everything just totally switched for me. I have to say, Chris, that I haven't had bad experiences, you know, in the workplace. And so when you start out and you have that great experience to begin with, that becomes your norm. That becomes what you think everything should be and your expectation. And that's the way it was for me.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so honest. It's great to hear from someone who hasn't had, you know, that many bad experiences or any at all. This is great.
Absolutely. There are, you know, some people out there, and that's why I will say that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, HR. I'm so passionate about people because, when you see it done right the first time, you know that it exists. And so you know that, okay, if it exists, then other people can duplicate it and we can have this in other places.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you kind of fell into human resources. What were you thinking of doing before that? And why was human resources such a great direction for you?
I love answering this one because I have been in sales. I was in sales for a very long time. I started when I was in college in retail, and then from there I transitioned. And even when I was working with Bose Speakers initially, I started out as the operations manager over in Europe. And my ex-husband at the time was stationed in the military, and it was the job that I got when I got over there. But I shortly found out that everything that I did, I had to deal with people. I was the operations manager at the time for Europe. And then when I came back to the States, I wound up being in sales. I was a regional sales manager for the company. I lived in Michigan. I lived in California. And so I was on the sales end of it. But like I said, I always remember the connection that I had with the human resource department and how they really prepared prepared me for so much of what I do now each and every day. And it really was about that connection with people. And if you understand how to communicate with people, you can be effective in anything that you do.
Yes. Yes. And having lived in all of those places, I mean, you've seen so many different types of people, so many different cultures, and that has to have had an effect on your ability to connect and communicate with others.
Yeah, absolutely. Connecting with people and realizing that I think innately as individuals, we a lot of times think that it's all about us all the time and the world centers around us. And if we get out of our little bubble, we realize that there's a lot of different people out there, a lot of different cultures. There's things that we don't realize. And if we open up our eyes, we get to experience some great things. And certainly when I was over in Germany, I got a chance to experience a lot of things. That was a long time ago. That was before the wall even came down. And so just wow. being over there was just a great experience. I got to travel extensively while I was there. I got a chance to meet, you know, people in, from different cultures, but also live in a different country where there was a different culture. And so you experience mm-hmm. that and you integrate that into your own life.
I like how you mentioned, you know, opening your eyes and having new experiences, but I also love that you write extensively about the importance of listening as a leader. And I'm curious, how have you learned to be a great listener?
You learn to be a great listener, especially when you're not getting results. And so one of the things that I have learned is that I'm not getting the result that I want. At the end of the day, if I'm the common denominator, then it has to be me. And that's having an introspective viewpoint and being able to say, okay, I'm not being able to communicate the way that I want to. I'm not getting my point across. What's happening? You know, and it can't, at the end of the day, it can't be everybody else. If it's everybody else at the end of the day, it's the wrong person. So it really came back to myself and how do I do that? And so I think that I was able to sit back and especially, and I'm a mom also, so I'm a parent. And I think that you develop very good listening skills when you're, you know, a parent because you want to be able to help your child whenever they need it. And I think, I tell you the same things apply to when you're in work and other places. And that listening skill is so key and is so critical. And so often, we don't do it and we don't know how to do it. That's the interesting thing that I've learned about listening is there is an art to listening. There really is.
Yeah.
When you know how to listen, you get answers and you get so much information that you didn't even realize was there just by listening. It allows you to, you know, ask the right questions afterwards so that you do get the answers that you want. But in terms of listening, it's really key that you also prepare yourself to listen. And so oftentimes I've seen managers, I've seen other people have people come into their office or they're in a conversation and you can tell that they're not really there. They're wrapped up in other things, whether they have to go to the grocery store after work, whether they have to get the kids or, you know, there's other things on their mind and understand that the person that's in front of you, they feel that. They see that. They know that they're not getting your full attention. And so listening for me really means being there in the moment and you know, being with that person so that you can really, really hear them. And sometimes that means that you have to tell that person, you know what, right now I'm working on a major project or I'm working on something, but what you have to say is important and I want to hear it. So let's schedule a time that we can really have this conversation so that I can give you the full attention that you need.
Yes. And I have to imagine that there's a connection between how you see someone as well. So if you're looking at the person across from you with it, with that lens of goodness, are you going to listen differently?
You listen with an openness to hear everything that's being said. You don't go in there with prejudgment. And I think that's the thing. Sometimes we go into conversations thinking that we already have all the answers or we know what the person is going to say. So we've already prejudged or come up with our own conclusions. And I think that when you go into a conversation like that, you're missing the point of the conversation. And so, you know, really when you, like you said, when you see the good in people, you're going there to find out, okay, what's going on? You're really asking questions so that you can find out what is the situation, what's really happening, instead of coming in there with judgment or preconceived ideas.
I like that you mentioned several times the role of asking good questions to get the answers that you need. And I've met a lot of people that really struggle with what a good question is. And I'm curious from your perspective, you know, how did you learn to ask the right questions?
I think once again, Chris, that's another great question. I think once again, it's a lot of times these things are trial and error. I've been in human resources now for like 25, 30 years. So by this time, it's like you've had enough experiences where you definitely get it right. But asking right questions, and I teach people this also because you're right. So often we'll ask a question and I call it a surface question. So it's not really, you're not going to really get the answer that you want because it's just sitting on the surface. And what you need to do is go deeper. And so I teach people also that when you ask a question, why don't you ask five other questions that are pertain to that so that you can still get more answers and you can still get the information that you need. Because sometimes you're not asking totally what you want to hear or what you need to hear. But if you take the time to ask another question that's related to that first question you ask, and like I said, go five questions deep, you'll get the answers that you want, because now you're asking more questions that's related to what you want to know.
Yeah. It reminds me of an exercise. I think it's the five whys, where you ask, you know, why is this? And then you keep asking why as you get an answer. And you do that five times so that you can really dive, like you say, deep into this one thing that you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing the information that you will get when you do that. Like I said, you're not just getting surface information anymore. You're really digging deep. And then you're getting to the core of people. And what happens is people feel, or they feel that you really acknowledge them, or that you're invested in the conversation. And so, so much of what we do is really about connections. And I think we have to ask ourselves, am I really taking the time to make a connection with someone, or am I just trying to get out what I have to say so I can go on to the next thing? And people, once again, they know that, they can feel that.
I like this conversation about connection and really seeing the person that you're with, really experiencing them. And it reminds me of something that I read in your speaker sheet that intrigued me. And you wrote, integrity is the most vital and strongest trait of any organization. And I'm curious, why is integrity so crucial, not only for organizations, but for employees?
Yeah. So integrity, I mean, I really truly believe this because integrity is who you are. It's what you stand for. And integrity is what you also do. And along with ethics, when people aren't looking. So it's not just when people are around, it's who you are, what you stand for, no matter what's going on. And so, you know, I have a picture on my wall and it says, I was told if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And then that's been there, done that, Dr. Dre. So it's... But you get the point. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so we have to, and that's the integrity part of us that has us stand firm in what we truly believe in. And if I think we do that, and you have an organization that's the founding principles, and you have everybody that does that, when they see something that's wrong, they'll be willing to step up and say something right away.
And is that the hallmark of company culture?
For me, the hallmark of company culture is that it's also the values, it's the beliefs of the company, the priorities, and the language. And so you can have a company culture that does not believe in integrity and ethics, but the thing key is you would have to have everybody that's in that company culture that doesn't believe in integrity and ethics for it to work. You know, it's kind of like honor amongst thieves. You know, if you take a look, you know, thieves, they have their own code of conduct. They have their own culture. But is that the culture that fits you? And that's where the values come in as an individual. Like, is where I'm going, that company, does that their company culture align with my values? And that's what really people want to take a look at.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, like, I think part of me, I understand this conversation of wanting to align values of a company as well, because we're spending so much time and energy in this job, with this company, with these people around us. But then there's a part of me, it's just like, but just take the job, just do it. There's like this nagging voice in the back of my head that says, you don't have the luxury to do that. Just take anything. And I'm curious why there's that voice sometimes that says, just push them aside and get whatever you can get.
I think a lot of times that people don't value their own selves and they don't value their own worth or what's important to them. And I've seen people, just like you said, that have decided just to take a job for the sake of taking a job. And I always say that there's a difference. There's a vast difference between a job and a career. And see, when you understand the difference, that job, you know, is something that, okay, you have to go to, you have to, you know, you need to do that so that you can get compensated, so that you can pay your bills. You know, career is something that you wake up excited to go to, because this is something that you've chose to do, and there's an investment in it on your part. And that's the difference. And I think that when we have people that are just going and getting jobs, they're not really happy at the end of the day. And you're able to see it within the workplace. You're able to tell within the individual themselves. And that's the difference. You know, people have careers, you know, they get up excited. They go to work every day. They're invested in what it is that they're doing. They're creative. They love what it is that they're doing. And so there is that vast difference. And so when people really can take a look at it from that standpoint, they can make better decisions for themselves. Because at the end of the day, it ultimately is a decision that you make in the job that you decide that you want to take or where you want to be. And so I've seen people get upset because it's not what they want. Well, then do something about it. We do have the luxury of doing something about it, but that takes courage. Yes. That takes guts.
Yes. It does. And it takes an awareness of what your values actually are, right?
Exactly. You have to know what it is that's important to you. And if you see something, and that should also start in the interview process, it goes both ways. And I think one of the reasons why I love what it is that I do so much is I get to see it from both ends. And the sweet spot for me is in the middle. That's when it works for both parties. But, you know, if you're a company and you're hiring someone, you should look to find someone that matches your company culture. And yet, if you're an individual looking for a job, you want to make sure that you're aligning your values with the company that you're going to, so that it is a match, so that you can go to work happy every day. I can't tell you how many people that I see that literally are miserable going to work each and every day. It's kind of like they get knots in their stomachs. It's like, oh no, I got to go to work today. You know, maybe right now in COVID, not so much because they're working from home and not in that environment every day. But there's a lot of people that are unhappy with their jobs. And I just think that life is too short to get up every day and go to a job that you're not happy with.
We're talking about company culture. We're talking about values. We're talking about making sure that you're aligned with as an employee with a company. But I'm curious what goes into making a compelling brand strategy that will attract the best people to a company. Is it leading with their values? Is it leading with something else? What goes into that?
It's leading with the values, because I think the values will tell you everything that you need to know. And it really starts at the top. And that's where it needs to start if you want it to really trickle down. And if it starts at the top and people see that, they know that it permeates throughout the entire organization. So when you see something that happens at the top, and that's the way that people act, then you know that there's going to be other people in that organization that act that way, whether it's good behavior or whether it's bad. It goes both ways. And so what you see at the top is what you're going to see intrinsically that comes down throughout other parts of the organization. And so when you're building that compelling brand that attracts the best people, you want to make sure that your people are being served as well as your customers. So I always say this, that the way that you treat your employees is the same way that your employees will treat your customer. Yeah. So that's that. And that gets deep for some people, because, you know, if you're not treating your employees well, then at the end of the day, don't expect them to treat your customers well. There's going to be a difference there. And so treating employees well, and I say that your employees are your greatest and your best brand ambassador. So treating them the way that they need to be treated, giving them that wow experience, and, you know, so that they want to remain there. And at the end of the day, a lot of times it's not about the money. You know, there's so much more when it comes to having a satisfying, gratifying career. The money, yes, we need money. We need money, you know, to pay our bills. We need money for other things. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of other things that's involved with that.
Yeah. What an interesting insight into the world of people inside a company, because it's so complex, and I can see why you can talk about this for hours.
I love it.
Because there's just
it is very complex. People are, you know, are very complex, and we all mm-hmm. come from different backgrounds. We come from different lifestyles, and so when you come to work, now you're with other people that may not share the same lifestyles or same values. And how do you mm-hmm. understand? How do you get to know people? And so I'll share a quick story with you. I was doing a respect mm-hmm. in the workplace training, and this was a few years back. And one of the things that as a group, I would ask people is the team. I want you to go around the room and I want you to tell me something that's an interpersonal decision for you that really rubs you the wrong way that somebody else may make. And everybody mm-hmm. was sharing. And this one young lady, she shared that it really bothered her when she had conversations with people if they did not look her in the eye. And she was so adamant about it. She felt so, so strongly about it. And yet I had another young lady there, and it took her a few minutes to say something. And then she said, you know, in my culture, if I look you in the eye, it's a sign of disrespect. And so you had two people that were working in the same place, you know, in the same day-to-day job, and had not had conversations enough to know, you know, this viewpoint from each other. And so it can lead to a lot of misunderstanding if you're not willing to have those conversations and, you know, really, really talk to the individual and communicate. And communication is really duplication. We sometimes think that just because we said something to somebody that, what, they didn't get it? I said it to them. I said it to them four or five times. What do you mean they didn't get it? But communication and true communication is duplication at the end of the day. Whatever it is that you're trying to get across can be duplicated by the person sitting on the other end.
I need to take that in, because like that's deep.
Yeah.
So true communication is duplicated by the other person, meaning
that they understand what it is that you've asked of them. And so you see this a lot of times where you may have a manager or supervisor, and they give instructions or they give a project out and they want to have somebody do something, and they've given them all this and they say, well, do you understand? And the person says yes. Mm-hmm. And then they go back and they bring them something totally different. And now this manager is mm-hmm. upset. And it's like, well, you said you understand. But you know what? There's a responsibility also when it comes to communication. And so the responsibility is to make sure that the effect that I want to create, I'm actually causing, because the person on the other end got it. So if you're mm-hmm. a great leader, or if you're a good manager, you're going to put some things in there to make sure that you truly get that the person on the other side understood what you wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's a responsibility factor and understanding that. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that. They just think, well, you know, well, I told them. So what do you mean? You know, how many times do I need to tell them? And sometimes you may need to say it several different ways until that person can comprehend or understand it. And so it's mm-hmm. checking for understanding to make sure that the person on the other side really does get what it is that you want them to do.
Yeah. Because what's interesting is like there's listening, and then there's hearing, and then there's comprehension.
Sure.
And so it's just like you could have heard something, but then didn't take the time to really think it through in order to understand what is really needed to be done.
Absolutely. And so sometimes, like you said, the person may not have, you know, completely thought it out, or maybe the way that it was communicated was not clear. It could mm-hmm. be two different things. And so that's why I said it's a responsibility on both parts. And so the employer-employee relationship is so interesting in the sense that sometimes the employee thinks, well, everything is on, you know, the management there. I'm just an employee. I really don't have any say, or what, you know, I do is not important. And when you're in a company culture that's really expanding and thriving, no, they want to hear from what employees have to say. It's what the employees have to say that really add to the ability to expand. Mm-hmm. And so one of my favorite shows in the past has been Undercover Boss, because when you have those individuals that go deep in after years, because they're the ones that founded the company, they realize that maybe things that they're operating under are not the right things to use right now. And they really don't work, but it's not until they're there in the midst that they really see this. So the employees do have a point of view, and they do have some things, because they're the frontline people. They're the people that's there every day. And so having those connections, having that communication, having the ability to meet, to talk about whether these things are working or not, are so important at the end of the day.
Absolutely. One of the biggest, I think, shifts to company culture, obviously this year has been COVID and how we've gone in many ways from, you know, an in-person company culture to a remote company culture, if that's possible. And I'm curious how you've seen people kind of rise to the occasion to transform their company culture in these difficult times.
You're right. It has been unprecedented, difficult times. And I use the word pivot a lot because I think we've done a lot of pivoting this year. And I think that organizations that and companies that have done it successfully have done just that. You know, you can't take the maybe the model that you had previously when people were coming in and now expect that to work in an at-home environment. And so realizing that and having, I think, empathy also. And I think one of the things that COVID-19 has done, it's put us all in the same place so that we can really see things. So, you know, if I'm a manager and I have kids at home, I'm going to be experiencing the same thing as, you know, maybe somebody I supervise. And now there's that empathy and you have a total understanding. And so there's an adjustment that happens on both ends. And I think the companies that are successful right now, they've been doing just that. And they're being flexible. I think that's a key word right now, flexibility all the way around, because things aren't the way that they used to be. And so in order for us to move forward, to have the success that we want, there has to be that flexibility and the ability to change.
The phrase that popped in my mind when you were saying flexibility was bending, not breaking.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good one. And I love that. Bending, not breaking. That's correct. So you definitely need to bend. You don't want to break it, but you definitely need to be very limber right now.
So you've written about 7 proven strategies to transform companies. And is flexibility one of them? Is what you're talking about, these proven strategies that people can use in this time?
Flexibility is not in there, but it's always, for me, it's always a given. You know, I always say, and for me, I've had the opportunity to work in a lot of companies that are startup, as well as companies that have been there substantially for a length of time. And I know for sure that flexibility in a startup is something that you always have to have, because things are always constantly changing. What worked in the very beginning and where you may be right now doesn't work, and you might continually have to change that. And so in any given work environment, I think flexibility is the key, because if you are going to expand, nothing is going to stay the same. And so you have to be willing to change and be flexible to make those changes. And sometimes people get stuck in their ways and they don't like changes, and that can be an issue. So having people understand that change is a good thing. And so, you know, sometimes we look at change is bad and there's too many changes, but sometimes it's necessary to change to expand, or to address certain issues or certain things that you may be experiencing.
What's one of your favorite strategies to start with and explore with business owners, whether it's startups or the other types of businesses that you work with?
Yeah, so I have 7 strategies, and one of the strategies is to set standards and expectation for employee participation. And I really think that this is a good one, because once again, you're building what you want. You want participation from everybody. You just don't want it from the management. You just don't want it from certain people in the organization. And what you're saying is you matter. You know, you being here is a value to the company, and what you have to say matters. And so when you expect people to participate, whether it's in meetings, whether it's, you know, in day-to-day activities, you're really saying that you are an important part of this team, and we want you to succeed. And so that's really a key one for me. And so I love that one. And then my last one that I have is pay it forward. And I think this is where we benefit the most, is when we pay it forward. And by that, I mean that when you're working, we spend 70% of our time at work each and every day. And so with that being said, you want to be able to have it be an enjoyable experience. And so when you can help someone to thrive and do better at work, you're going to impact their entire life. It's not just at work that's going to come through. It's going to impact their personal life. It's going to impact what they do in their communities. And so the effect that you have is just so far-reaching. And sometimes I think that we forget that, and we just look at it, oh, it's just work. It's not just work. And so, you know, some people, they live for work because it is so gratifying to them. And so the impact that has, like I said, is far-reaching.
I can't help but think about things like automation and the ways we think work is going to change how people interact with work. And I'm curious from your perspective, what the future of human resources looks like in an automated world, in a world where humans need to redefine what work is for them.
You know what? As an HR professional and someone, HR leader and expert, I can tell you that that question also comes to mind for me, because I think that we're in a society right now where things are so automated and we're trying to make it everything by machines, whether you're calling a company and, you know, everything is done by voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that that can pose problems, because remember, I love HR stands for human resources, and that's human. That part of it, there's a connection that's there that I don't think is ever going to go away, because as individuals, we need that human connection. We're not robots. And so there needs to be a certain element of that there. So while automation is great and it can make our jobs easier, you know, my hope and goal is that people never forget that there is a human element that's involved in there that is so critical and important to expansion, to performance, to people doing well.
So how do you see yourself growing and rising to meet the challenges of being a good human in sometimes an inhumane world?
It's about keeping in touch with people. And it's not just, you know, when I need something, but just making sure and checking in to make sure people are good. And I think that we've seen a lot of that happen also during COVID-19. And what COVID-19 has done more than anything else is kind of forced us to step back a second and just, you know, what I call woosah, take a step back. I mean, our lives are so busy and we're doing so much all the time, whether it's our children and, you know, the play dates they have or the team activities and just the work itself. And I think this whole COVID-19 has had us take a step back. And I've heard a lot of people say that, wow, you know, they're now having dinners with their families, they're having conversations with their children. And I think that's something that's needed and that will continue hopefully after this time. But I think I try to apply that in everything that I'm doing, just checking in with people just to see how they are, not because I want something, but just because I'm concerned and I want to make sure that you're good.
That's great. So what does the future look like for you? What's next?
Oh, wow. So I had the one book. I'm going to be working on another book shortly, and where we'll be talking about the whole hiring process and how to hire right the first time. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm just, you know, right now working with individuals. I do webinars, especially during this time frame where we've been sitting home for several months. I want to see how I can give back. So I've done several webinars for employees, individuals looking for work, as well as employers, you know, so that they can, you know, hire, because we are going to come out on the other end of this. And so it really is about being prepared at that time. And so, you know, we've had a good 5 or 6 months. And so if you are looking for that next opportunity, there's no more than right now, a perfect time to do that and see what's out there. And there are a lot of things that's out there, even though we're in a situation, we're still not back to 100% normal. We're getting there. And there's things that are out there and available to people.
So last question for you, Diana. What book, podcast, or resource is blowing your mind right now?
You know, I read recently, it's called The Winning Team. It's by John Gordon, who was the former head coach for the Atlanta Falcons and Mike Smith. And he talks about 7 C's to building a winning team. And certainly culture is one of those. But, you know, when you take a look at sports teams are great at building something and building winning teams. And so if we take a look at a lot of the things that work in our sports teams and we put those in the workplace, we would have thriving, companies. And so I read that book recently and it was amazing and I really enjoyed it. And I would highly recommend it for anybody.
That's awesome. Well, Diana, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been fun to talk about your passion for humans, company culture, listening, and all of the great things that you do to make work better for people. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for having me. And I would like to offer the listeners a download of my book, if they would like.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to put a link in the show notes to where that is and make sure that happens.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed talking with you today.
I definitely had a few aha moments in this conversation with Diana, and I hope you'll take a moment and check out her offer in order to learn more about creating a company culture that transforms. You'll find the link to her free book in the show notes at gwtw.co/449. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.